I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great one Lonzo, and you. 844-326-3663. 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E is the number if you want to jump in on the show. You can start on the Hub City Spartanburger test line. That number I just gave you multiple times, that's the one. 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text. We'll read them on the air. Got a handful so far. We will address those coming up in just a few minutes. You can also use that exact same phone number to call the radio program, 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E. We will put you on the air. You can also get at us on Twitter if you are a Twitterer, at The Fan Upstate, at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo on Word. You can get at us on Facebook by searching and subscribing to The Fan Upstate, same on YouTube, and the same for both The Rob Brown Show and The Fan Upstate. You search and subscribe to The Fan Upstate, you're not only getting alerts and notifications when this show goes live every weekday from 6 to 10 a.m., but also when Wire to Wire with Diesel and Cole Bryson goes live every afternoon from 3 until 7 o'clock in the evening time. And if you got something a little more long format you want to get at us, the email address is open as well, rob.brown@thefanupstate.com. All the different ways for you to get in touch with us here on the show this and every morning. Little bit of spring cleaning and a brief reminder that Zoe and I are out on Thursday and Friday. I will be on vacation. Lonzo will be doing DIY work, getting the floor done, which is... Is this the last round of flooring?
It is.
Nice. So we will be out on Thursday and Friday, and then we will be back next Monday, and we'll be at that point well inside of just 2 weeks remaining until college football season. So we are talking some college football here on the radio program this AM. I do have a few more things that I'd like to get into. We'll talk a little NASCAR coming up on the radio show. We'll talk a little baseball coming up on the radio show. But, of course, college football is king round here. So let's keep rolling with it, shall we? Let us begin with a question that I asked all of you in the last hour of the show. I will ask it again of you here. What is the realistic ceiling and floor for Clemson and South Carolina? We talked a little bit about Clemson's. We had John Blau with the Post and Courier joining us in the last segment of the show. He said the realistic ceiling, and I think this is probably going to be between these two teams, the one universal take. The realistic ceiling is an undefeated national championship. The floor, I think, is 8-4. I think you could end up realistically being 8-4. Do I think that's going to happen? Not at all. But South Carolina and LSU are both realistic losses this year. And then you have scattered across the rest of the Clemson regular season schedule. You are also going to have to deal with a road trip to Atlanta for Georgia Tech, who John mentioned by name. You are going to have to visit North Carolina. Again, I don't foresee good things for the Heels under the hoodie, but a lot of people, including the great Melonzo, do. You are going to have to deal with SMU, then Duke, then Florida State, back to back to back coming to the crib. And then you've got to go on the road to Louisville. I could see 2-1 through that stretch and any combination of 2 wins, 1 loss through that stretch. And then don't forget, again, as we mentioned, South Carolina as the end cap. I think 8-4 is very much a possibility. And I will say, if 8-4 with this team and the expectations were to come to fruition, I would say 8-4 begins a very interesting offseason conversation, because I do think that this year is that referendum that we've been waiting on as to whether or not Dabo's way is viable in 2025 and moving forward in the college football landscape. I'm not saying that the referendum fails if it is anything shy of a national championship this season. I am saying 8-4, 9-3, even if the conference is better than a lot of people are giving it credit for being this year, which I also think is true. I think 8-4, 9-3, it would be fair to say the referendum does not pass, and there needs to be a conversation about what happens moving forward at this school, because I do think this year specifically, if Clemson falls out of that discussion, effectively needing an ACC championship, needing an ACC championship, but needing an ACC championship predominantly and primarily to get into the playoffs last year, with a 9-3 regular season record last year. If that was to be repeated this year, and Clemson needed a way in via ACC title and gets punked in round one, if the same results from last year were to happen this year with Cade Klubnik, with the wide receiver core that is allegedly back to where it was in the championship dynasty era of Clemson, then I think the people asking, is Dabo's way still viable? I think they would have a point. I think that question would become more justified than it's been in years gone by. So, you know, 10-2, you get your way in, even if you don't win the ACC title. I think then it becomes what happens in the playoffs. You know, you get smoked again, different discussion. So what could lead to that? Kane, as I'm saying that, asked the question in the chat, what would be the main reason they get to 8-4 if they end up there? Start with the easy ones. Losses to LSU and South Carolina. I think LSU's fine this year. That being said, I think LSU enters the season with more pressure on them than Clemson has. I think LSU enters this season with a head coach in Brian Kelly who knows. 8-4, I don't know if 7-5 or worse gets Brian Kelly fired. Outright, straight up, Jimbo Fisher, you're gone. Doesn't matter how much money we owe you, you gotta go. 8-4, 9-3, I think may largely depend on the results of the conference. Is it possible for a 9-3 LSU team to end up in a Southeastern Conference championship game? Yeah. Yeah, it depends on what they do in the conference and all that. But I think that Brian Kelly, to some degree, knows that anything less than 8-4 gets him fired. Anything from 8-4 to 10-2 might get him on the hot seat depending on how the conference plays out. And probably anything less than a playoff berth gets him on the hot seat, to be honest with you. So I think they come in with a little bit more pressure than Dabo has on them at Clemson, if you believe there's any on Dabo at Clemson. And then there's South Carolina at the end of the year, which again, I've got questions about South Carolina. We're going to talk about them coming up in a minute as well. Run game, defense, interior offensive line, all question marks. But they had the same question marks last year, and they got them. They sniped them at the end. Losses to both of those teams, and then you go, all right, but where's the other two of the four in 8-4? You got to go on the road to Georgia Tech. I think this is going to be the best Georgia Tech team of all time. This is a Georgia Tech team that 2 years ago in Atlanta gave Clemson all they wanted and a little bit more. This is the same Georgia Tech team that Jean Blau pointed out, and I don't think I have to point out to anybody. 8 overtimes against Georgia last year, a team that competed for the SEC championship game. They took them to 8 OTs last year. If you are sleeping on the rambling wreck of Georgia Tech, that's on you and nobody else. But that's not the only threat. You have got Georgia Tech. You have got the, I believe, absolute wild card that is North Carolina. I don't have faith in them. Lonzo does. Who's right? I don't know. We're going to find out. But you got to go to North Carolina. You are at Chapel Hill this year. You've got a North Carolina squad that at that point will have played 2 home and 2 away against TCU, Charlotte, Richmond, and UCF, with Charlotte and UCF both being on the road. At that point in the season, Clemson will have played LSU and Georgia Tech. And hey, by the way, while I do not think that this year they are going to be dogs, the folks up in upstate New York are very excited about the trajectory of Syracuse under Fran Brown. And I think it's fair for them to have mild optimism right now. That's who you're playing before UNC has their first true test in BT Dubs, as mentioned, at their crib. Then you've got SMU coming to your house. And the week after that, then a bye week, then the week after that, Duke coming to your house, then Florida State coming to your house, and then you got to go to Louisville. That is a more dangerous 4-game stretch than I think anybody is giving it credit for being. SMU took you to the wire last year in the ACC title game. Duke is coming off of perhaps their best season in maybe football history at all, going 9-3 last year. Again, I think it's fair to ask the question, did they do that because Mike Elko left the cupboard bare, or is Manny Diaz really the guy? Did he get humbled enough during his time at Miami that he's put 2 and 2 together and got 4? I don't know. Then you've got Florida State, a team that I don't think is back yet. But as I mentioned earlier, Las Vegas has set the over-under win total for FSU at 8.5. That means Vegas believes this team's either 8-4 or 9-3 at the end of the year. And then you got to go to Louisville. And again, Louisville's offensive line, a lot of questions about it, but Miller Moss coming over, they've got high expectations. The worst possible outcome for Clemson is a loss to LSU to open, a loss to South Carolina to close, and then 2 losses between at Georgia Tech, at North Carolina, home for SMU, Duke, Florida State, and at Louisville. You're telling me there's zero worlds where Clemson drops 2 of those? Because I'm telling you there is. Especially in that SMU, Duke, Florida State, Louisville stretch. Are you 1,000% dialed in to all 4 of those teams? Because, again, I know it's kind of a football cliche, but cliches are cliches for a reason. You're everybody's Super Bowl this year. You are the team that if Georgia Tech takes you down, they go, that's it, we up. If SMU takes you down, they go, that's what should have been last year, it's our conference now. If Duke takes you down, again, by the way, if Duke takes you down, Duke looks and they go, this is not a fad. This is not an apparition. This is not an anomaly. We're good at football now. If Florida State takes you down, they go, we so bleeping back, baby. If Louisville takes you down, they go, we're ACC now. It's our conference now. You're everybody's Super Bowl. So between Tech, UNC, Duke, FSU, and Louisville, five games. You're telling me there's not a world where Clemson goes 3-2? I'm not comfortable saying there's no possibility that you don't go 3-2 through those five. And if that happens, I very much think Clemson's 8-4 is on the table. It won't be as bad as Florida State's 2-10 last year, but I do think it would be a spot where the Clemson higher-ups could reasonably and realistically say, we gotta modernize a little bit here. We got to pick it up. We got to do something different. Whether it's better usage of NIL, better usage of the portal, whatever justification you want to have. Going 3-2 through those five with losses to LSU and South Carolina on both ends of the schedule, I think 8-4 is a very realistic floor for this team. The honest take is 7-5 could be a realistic outcome. Now, I do not think there's a world in which Clemson goes 2-3 through that middle five. But I think there's a realistic world where they go 3-2 through that middle five. And if that's the case, with bookend L's to LSU and South Carolina, you're in a tough spot. And I think there's some tough offseason conversations around the Clemson Tigers. But again, we are talking right now. Before anybody starts going, Rob's a Clemson hater. No, I'm not. I am telling you what the worst possible outcome is. And I'm going to tell you when we come back in the next segment what I think the worst possible outcome for South Carolina is. Now, we're going to have the conversation about the Gamecocks on both ends, because I think it's a relatively universal take that Clemson's ceiling is undefeated national champions. That's the ceiling. Tough to do. Possible. I do not think that is the roof for South Carolina. I do not think undefeated, even in the regular season, is in the cards for the Gamecocks. But how good can they be? And worse, how bad can they be if things were to hit the floor? I'll give you my thoughts. I'm looking for yours. 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text to that number with your ceiling and floor. Shoot us a call. We'll put you on the air. All that and more coming up when the Rob Brown Show continues next on the Fan Upstate.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. I have asked for your realistic ceiling and floor expectations for the Clemson Tigers and the Gamecocks of South Carolina. What are your thoughts on the best and the worst that these two teams can do? Realistic ceiling for Clemson, undefeated national championship. However, realistic floor for Clemson, I think, is 8-4 and miss out on the ACC title game and playoffs entirely. I think that is absolutely in play. Do I think they are better than everybody else in the ACC? Yes. Do I think the ACC is as pathetic as it's being made to sound by a lot of folks? No, I do not. I think it's better than it's being given credit for, and I think there's some tough games down the line for Clemson. Let's do the Gamecocks of South Carolina now. Realistic ceiling for this team, I genuinely think, is probably 10-2. Now, 10-2, is it good enough to get into an SEC championship game? I don't know the answer to that, and I've given my reason why. I think this might be the best year of SEC football in the history of SEC football, like reasonably and realistically. I think Alabama is a national championship contender. I think Auburn, Hugh Freeze's back is against the wall. They could be 8-4. They could be 9-3. They could also be 5-7. Florida, I have bought into the DJ Lagway hype. I feel very similar about DJ Lagway to the way that I feel about Lenora Sellers. He could be a program-changing quarterback. That team could be 10-2. That team could be 6-6. Georgia, national championship contender. LSU, that probably is the most wide-ranging spectrum of opinions in the Southeastern Conference. I think LSU, on paper, has the talent to be 12-0 and playing for an SEC title. I also do have zero trust in Brian Kelly. I have not finished it yet, but I started watching, and if you haven't, it's worth watching, in my opinion. I started watching the Any Given Saturday documentary on Netflix a few days ago. I am blown away by Brian Kelly in this documentary. Not in a good way. I am blown away by Brian Kelly because this is a dude about whomst. There is a narrative built. The narrative is Brian Kelly is a coach who knows ball, is a coach who is good at coaching ball, but is an absolute hard ass who makes it impossible to like him. There is a definite line between a hard ass coach who makes it easy to like him and a coach that makes it real tough to like him. There are guys like Tom Coughlin. We all remember the takes about Tom Coughlin, who brought that kind of old school blue collar, gruff ex-Armed Forces vet style coaching, right? He's gonna yell, he's gonna scream, he's gonna be real gruff. But he convinces you that he does all that because he's gonna bring the best out of you. I was watching, again, going back to it, I was watching the SEC documentary on Netflix, and the conveniently and coincidentally enough for me, the South Carolina and Texas A&M stories were kind of paired up with each other. And they did a lot on Mike Elko. And Mike Elko, former head coach at Duke, now at Texas A&M, he's kind of like that, right? He's kind of that. On the field, he's kind of hard-assed. In fact, they had one scene in particular where Elko was running a practice and Shamar Stewart, the guy who got drafted by the Bengals in the first round, their defensive end, they didn't really give any context to what the play was. The impression I got via context clues was that Mike had them practicing a hurry up defense, right? Sub in, sub out, get on the field, get off of it. And Stewart, I guess, didn't hustle enough for Elko. So Elko blew the whistle, told them, get back on the sideline and run it again. And he goes, Stewart, I can do this all day. And not like in a fun Captain America way. I mean in a, I will run you until you vomit if you don't do it the way I want it done kind of way. And he's like, he's very much a hard ass. But then they kind of provided the counter narrative to that in that they showed Elko walking over to the sideline. And they had two of the players standing over there, you know, sipping on a couple of Gatorade bottles. And he walks up to them. And you could tell it was half jokey, half get it in gear. But he walks up and he's like, hey, boys, can I get you anything? Maybe I don't know, like a fruity drink with some umbrellas in it. Maybe a bigger umbrella gets you some shade going. And the fellas kind of laughed, and Elko kind of laughed. But you could also tell he was making a point that you guys are out here acting soft right now, and we don't need that. That's the merit of a hard ass, but that makes himself likable. When that guy gets on you, you go, all right, he's trying to make me better. He's trying to point out that I'm coming up short in whatever aspect of the game we're talking about. Versus Brian Kelly, who if you watch the LSU episode, you walk away going, yeah, my kid's not playing for that guy. Like, are you kidding me? That guy's a butthole. Absolutely not. No chance. Brian Kelly's back's against the wall.
Would you prefer they be coddled? I mean, is it that extreme? Because it just sounds like coaching to me. But again, I'm older and that kind of thing was more acceptable back in my day.
It probably was. But again, I think there is a way to be a gruff, tough coach without being a jackass, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I will tell you that the toughest, hardest-nosed coach I ever had, Don Arthur, did not make me a better player or person. You know what he made me? A person who did not want to interact with my coach. Now, where everybody's different and everybody responds differently, and I'm sure there are some kids who would respond better to Brian Kelly than, I don't know, Pete Carroll, right? But is he getting the best out of LSU the last couple of years? I don't think so. That's why he's on the hot seat, right?
What if he was?
Then we're not having this conversation.
What I'm saying is, how LSU ended up, what if that is the best that anyone could have gotten out of the players?
I don't know the answer, and I don't know that we can know that he is or isn't. Here's what I can tell you. What I can tell you is, over the last 3 years, LSU on paper should have, could have, would have competed with everybody in the SEC, and they just have repeatedly not done that. And when you are getting paid what Brian Kelly is getting paid, to not even be in the mix is just not good enough. It's just not. So I found that very interesting. But circling it back around to South Carolina, because I've asked the question ceiling and floor for the Gamecocks.
Looking at the schedule, this is really hard to think that they're going to be anything less than at least 8 wins. I mean, there's a stretch where they got to go LSU, Oklahoma, and Alabama, but they should be undefeated going against LSU.
Reaching the ceiling, which I think the ceiling is 10-2, reaching the ceiling requires 5-0 to start the season. Anything less than 5-0, drop a win off the final total. 10-2 is the ceiling. If they lose to Virginia Tech, that ceiling immediately falls to 9-3.
And I would say, for me, covering this team for a really, really long time, I don't remember the schedule being this easy the first 5 games. And there's no Georgia.
This is what I've been saying for a while. Virginia Tech in Atlanta, it is considered a home game. It's not. That's a road game at Atlanta. Now, granted, I think South Carolina fans will have twice the fans that Virginia Tech has in that stadium. It will be a de facto home game. But Virginia Tech out of the gate in Atlanta, back home for SC State and Vanderbilt in week 3. Then you're on the road at Missouri, back home for Kentucky, with the knowledge that both of those games have become, I think, over the last couple of years, baby rivalries, right? Like, they're not full-fledged true blue rivalries, but there's a little more under the surface than just South Carolina, Missouri, South Carolina, Kentucky. You all know about the coaching stuff with Mark Stoops at Kentucky. Mizzou's given South Carolina more than they wanted the last couple of years. If you want 10-2, honestly, if you want 9-3, you better be 5-0 through the first five. Like, you better be 5-0. And you at that point, South Carolina ought to be flirting, if not having accomplished, a top 10 ranking at that point in the season at 5-0.
Especially with their preseason ranking already. I know it's a coach's poll, but still is fairly high. So, yeah, if you're undefeated at that point, for sure they would be in the top 10.
Flirting, if not inside the top 10. And then, because Lonzo said, I don't remember the first five being that easy. I don't disagree. I also don't remember the last seven being that tough. You are talking on the road at LSU. Even if LSU ain't what LSU's supposed to be, any game in Death Valley is a tough game. That is the most difficult place to play college football as a road team in college football. Then there's Oklahoma. Again, probably another one of those SEC teams where there is a full spectrum of expectations. I had people at SEC Media Days telling me that they fully expected the Schooner is going to be pulling up to Atlanta in the SEC title game. And then I had other folks saying Brent Venables is one step ahead of his capability. Not a good HC. That team's going 6-6. I don't know which one we get. If I'm a South Carolina fan, I'm very much hoping that Oklahoma ain't what the top-end expectation dudes think they're going to be. Then you got Alabama. I firmly believe Alabama is an SEC championship threat this year. I firmly believe with, again, it may entirely, even more so than South Carolina with Lenora Sellers. Alabama's success or failure may be up to whether or not they got it right with Ty Simpson at quarterback. If he's that dude, Bama's a national championship threat. If he ain't that dude, Bama's 8-4, 9-3. But little revenge game there for South Carolina. Then you're at Ole Miss. I do not think that Ole Miss is an SEC championship caliber team this year. But if you sleep on Ole Miss, as South Carolina has felt the repercussions of in a couple of years gone by, Ole Miss is not a bad football team. They ain't Georgia. They ain't Texas. But they're not a bad football team behind Lane Kiffin. And if that's not enough, after Bama, Ole Miss, and A&M, you got to circle it back around. Excuse me. After Bama and Ole Miss, you got to circle it back around and go down to the compound. And as has been pointed out, Texas A&M and South Carolina have been swapping home victories for a while now. The home team wins this game. Not historically, but over the past handful of years, the team playing at home has won this game. There's four games, LSU, Oklahoma, Alabama, Ole Miss, and A&M. Sorry, I'm bad at math. Five games. I'm bad at counting, apparently. Five games in a row that South Carolina will either be the dog or a slightest of slight favorites in. I think there is as much potential for that team to go 0-5 in that stretch as there is for that team to go 5-0. Any combination of results would not surprise me. 0-5, 5-0, 4-1, 1-4, 3-2, 2-3. Any combination of results would not shock me through that stretch today on August 11th. And then you wrap it up with Clemson. To me, the ceiling for South Carolina is 10-2. That is way too tough of a back end of the schedule not to drop a couple. 10-2. The floor, and I mean this, the floor for South Carolina, the floor is 6-6. Like, the floor is you're bowl eligible. The floor, and that includes if you drop one or two of the first five, and then you get hammered down that home stretch, you could be 6-6 and fighting for bowl eligibility. That's the floor for me. So Gamecock fans, where are you? Realistic ceiling, realistic floor for your team. Clemson fans, you can keep your answers coming in as well. When we come back, we'll address your thoughts and we'll wrap up the show, the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. The Fan Upstate wrapping up the Monday edition of the show. Quick spring cleaning for you. We are out on Thursday and Friday. I will be headed over to Charleston, South Carolina on a little short weekend vacation. The great one will be doing a little DIY work, shirtless and sweaty, fixing up the floor in the Bro Cave.
Hey. Don't need those kind of dreams this early in the morning for people.
I get it. We are talking football on the show this morning. We have talked a little bit about some of the other stuff. NASCAR, Shane Van Gisbergen gets his fourth win of the season, fifth of his career. Another dub on another road course is good enough to, obviously he was already locked into the playoffs, good enough to propel him to the two seed in the playoffs, and that is likely where he will start. We'll talk about that. We are going to get into a discussion about, over the course of the week, the Atlanta Braves, a good, shockingly, good weekend series against the Miami Marlins. Not only do they take four out of the five against the Fish, but on top of that, the offense was alive. Seven runs or more in all four of those wins. So, very interested in what, if anything, comes out of that. Again, too late to make a run to the postseason at this point, although they are not mathematically eliminated. I would not be shocked to see them end up being eliminated at some point. So, we'll see. Some point soon. Yes, obviously, at some point. Everybody's eliminated at some point, but at some point soon. So, with all of that being said, today we dial in on football. We have had some reactions and overreactions from the NFL's first preseason weekend. We talked about the Carolina Panthers so far. Disappointing showing from Xavier Leggett. Again, I don't judge the fighting because I don't know what the fight was about. I know that sometimes some dudes just got to get punched in the head. I'd wait till they took a football helmet off before I did it, but that's just me. I'm not a smart guy. XL in a season where it is expected of him to prove that he was worth the draft pick, to prove that he is the dude that can be a trustworthy number two wide receiver, not how I wanted, expected, or needed his season to start off. We talked about Bryce Young. BY looked real good. It was against Cleveland's twos. It was not into the face of Myles Garrett, but BY looked real good. Good control of the offense, a couple of good anticipatory passes. Like I was pretty pumped about what we saw out of Bryce Young. I think there's some positives there. Ted Aroa McMillan looked like a dude in his debut for the Carolina Panthers. So I think there's some positives to talk about that. That being said, preseason is about evaluating where we are, not judging who the team is. We don't know that yet. I think there was some good, and I think there were some bad to take out of that. We talked about some of the other teams around the league as well, and we'll continue to over the next few days of football. Now, the college football discussion that we are having right now is we have begun the conversation, and we will pick it up tomorrow, and we will pick it up Wednesday before we go on vacation Thursday and Friday. I have asked the question, what is the realistic ceiling and floor for the 2025 version of your college football team? South Carolina, Clemson specifically. You Furman Wofford fans, you're welcome to chime in. You Georgia fans, you Florida State fans, you Miami fans, you're welcome to chime in as well. What's the realistic ceiling and floor for your football team? I have landed on these, then we'll get Lonzo's, and we'll respond to yours. For the Clemson Tigers, I think it is likely the one universal between most people who check in. Undefeated national champions. 12-0 in the regular season. 13-0 after the ACC championship game. Straight seeding this year. Catch an opening round bye. Win three. Bring home a trophy. I think that's the ceiling, and I don't have any issue with anybody who sets that as a realistic ceiling. The question mark for Clemson is the floor. It depends on where you stand in your belief about the ACC. If you think it is a down year for a bad conference, the expectation might be undefeated in conference, but then get hammered in the opening playoff game that they play. If you, like me, believe that perhaps this conference is a little bit underrated, a little bit undervalued for what it actually is, I think the floor could be as low as 8-4. And I do. I think 8-4 is a realistic possibility for Clemson this year. And it's got less to do with Clemson and more to do with perhaps being asleep on the rest of this conference. The over-under win total for Florida State is 8.5. That means Vegas thinks they could be a 9-win football team this year. Tech, probably the best Tech team we've ever seen. Duke, probably the best Duke team we've ever seen, and coming off of a year that they were 9-3 last year. Louisville, behind Miller Moss and Jeff Brom, could score 50 a game. Realistically, not like ha-ha funny, Rob's exaggerating to make a point. I mean, reasonably, this team could average upwards of 42 points per game. There's some good North Carolina. I'm not up on Bill Belichick and the Heels, but a lot of people, including the great one, are. I think it's a better conference than it's being given credit for. And if Clemson is asleep at the wheel for two or three of those games, and then you add in LSU coming into this year with ridiculously high expectations for Brian Kelly, South Carolina coming into the year with realistic high expectations for Lenora Sellers in the offense this year. If those teams reach their ceiling, if Duke and Louisville and UNC and Florida State and whoever else all hit their ceiling, I think 8-4 is on the table for Clemson. For South Carolina, ceiling for me is 10-2 and competing for an SEC championship. Now, a lot of that is going to depend on what other teams in the conference hit their roofs, what other teams in the conference end up with that 10-2, 9-3, 11-1 mark. If Texas hits their ceiling, if Georgia hits their ceiling, there's your SEC championship game. But if they don't, could the door be open for South Carolina? I think it's an improbable, though not impossible, yes. I think the ceiling's 10-2. The floor for South Carolina, 6-6. The floor is you drop one of those first five, Mizzou, Kentucky, Virginia Tech. You drop one of those first five, and then you just don't live up to your expectations in what is, I believe, the most difficult final 7 weeks in all of college football. If you don't have a run game, if the interior offensive line is bad, if the defense is worse than it was last year, I think 6-6 is very in play. Lonzo, for Clemson and South Carolina, realistic ceiling and floor.
All right, for Clemson, I agree with you. The ceiling is the national championship. I think the floor is three losses. I think they could very well lose their bookends, and then somewhere in the middle, a team that they shouldn't lose to, they'll lose. And I think really it comes down to Cade Klubnik. And that's really what it's come down to the last couple of years. If Cade has improved as much as it seems like he has, they should be good. If not, they may lose some games they shouldn't lose. As far as Carolina goes, I think the ceiling is 9 wins. And I go with 7 wins as the floor.
7 is the floor?
Yes.
For South Carolina?
Yes.
Which
is enough to keep Shane Beamer there.
I think 7-5 would be for Shano. I think 7-5 would be a you're not on the hot seat, but we have to see upward trajectory again next year, or you will be. Would that be fair? Like 7-5 followed up by another 7-5 season.
Well, if he doesn't go anywhere, he got another year of Lenoris, right? So, you don't? I think he was a sophomore this year.
No, I'm saying I think he's going to the draft regardless.
No, he can't.
Yeah, he's played his obligatory two. And he was on the team the year before that. Yeah, he's okay. Draft eligible.
I don't know.
I
thought you had to be a junior.
Either way.
In order to go to the draft.
No, he's eligible for next year's draft. He's a redshirt sophomore this year, meaning he's played his two, and then this like going into
next
his third.
Next year, yeah. As in 2026.
As in 2026. He's eligible for the draft. So you got, and that's also the part of the reason I said a few times, this year Shane has to do something special because I think you've got South Carolina's Cam Newton in the fold, and if you don't do anything while you've got him on the roster, how do you expect anybody to believe you're going to do something when not Lenora Sellers is up next?
All right, time to jump around and find out what is Xing, and Rob will tell us why. The first thing that's Xing is Karrion Kross.
Karrion Kross Xing because he and Scarlett's contracts were not renewed by the WWE. Now, the question mark is work or shoot because him and Scarlett are out there and they're talking about, yeah, we've always been fighters. We're moving on to the next chapter. And Karrion Kross even put up a thing about his booking. But I would also say there has been so much smoke about this potentially being just a storyline to invoke the debut of Killer Kross, which is I think what fans have been asking for. I don't know is the answer. I will simply say that I think Killer Kross is exactly what that company needs right now, and if they do not bring that guy in, I think it would be a waste.
All right, the next thing is Xing is New Heights.
Obviously, the podcast, produced, directed, and executed by the Kelce brothers, has been rapidly gaining. I don't know whether Xing, I'm going to assume they just signed a big deal to move it somewhere because that's what everybody's doing.
They're on hiatus, which they do whenever training camp starts for Travis, but they just put a special guest coming up this Wednesday, and there's a silhouette in between the two that looks awful lot like this very famous pop star. Just saying.
Very famous pop star?
Yeah, who used to be a country star, and now she's a pop star, and just...
Oh,
you really didn't get what I meant. Okay.
No, but if you would have said country pop star, I would have maybe gone to Tay-Tay. But like pop star is, listen, there's pop stars littered.
Dude, she ain't been country in a decade, right?
No. But at the same time, you say pop star. Like if you'd have said female pop star, I maybe would have got there. You
I
said
did
pop
say
star.
She. I did say she.
Did you?
I did. It's okay. It's all right.
Anyway, point is, I'm down for a Tay-Tay New Heights.
If that
with,
indeed
with,
happens.
With Jason?
No, with both of them. This is one that they have in the
gotcha.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I know radio does this sometimes. Hard to believe. Will tease something, make you think it's one thing, and it's not. It may not be her silhouette, but apparently, people are believing it's gonna be. And I'm interested. All right. The next thing that's Xing is Venus and Jupiter.
I saw that trending earlier, but I was already on the air, so I didn't have the opportunity to click it.
They were visible in the night sky. I think still visible tonight.
Okay. I also know that over the next, not tonight, but I think the next 3 days starting tomorrow, the Perseid meteor shower is going to hit its peak, which also means peak meteor shower viewing. Combined with a number of planets available, should make for some wonderful sky gazing, stargazing, if that's your thing. I'm off on Thursday. Yeah, Wednesday night, once we get over to Charleston, Lady and I already booked it. We're going to sit on the beach and watch the meteors hit for a while.
Well, the planets also have been aligned, so if you see people dancing naked, it's a normal thing. All right, the next thing that's Xing is the final thing that's Xing. Because Dana White was Xing, but we know why that's going on. Is Megan Fox?
I mean, don't get me wrong. Megan Fox closing the hood in that one Transformers movie was a transformative moment for your boy, but I don't know why she's Xing.
All right, I can't find out why, but it's Megan Fox, so I guess she doesn't have to do anything to be Xing.
I mean, she doesn't just be Megan Fox, but at the same time, I'm gonna keep it a buck. The whole Machine Gun Kelly thing, like, nah, come on, Megan. There's better out there, like me. There's like people like me out there. And
yeah,
you go
but
with
you're
MGK.
Not available, so she had to go with MGK.
I was when she was with MGK. All right, you missed Megan. The point is, you missed your shot. You could have had old Rob Brown, but you went with Machine Gun Kelly. I'm just saying, I'm off the table. I'm sorry to be a heartbreaker, Megan Fox. You had your opportunity. You didn't call. The phone didn't ring. You just have to live with that now, Megan Fox. I'm sorry. It wasn't that dramatic. All right, that's it for us. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you didn't, it's your own fault. Come back tomorrow. We will do more and better. At least we'll try to. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. Have a great rest of your day. Do not drink and drive. I will punch you in the face. See you back here tomorrow for a brand new edition of the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Later.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, swift rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.